In the name of Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Probably most of you remember the Canaanite woman, the woman who was from Syrophoenicia. She had a daughter who was demon-possessed. And this Canaanite woman, this Gentile, heard that Jesus was in the territory, and she approached him, and she called out to him, "Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, have mercy. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon." And Jesus doesn't turn so much as an eye toward her, but goes on down the roadway. She cries out again, and she's making such a ruckus that Jesus' disciples come to him and say, "Lord, send her away. She's creating a disturbance." Jesus said, "It is not right to give to dogs the food that belongs to the children." Actually, he said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The woman continued to plead with Jesus. She fell at his feet and once again asked for mercy. And then Jesus said, "It is not right to give the dogs the food that belongs to the children." And this Gentile woman said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat crumbs from the master's table." She demonstrated her faith. Faith, when Jesus seemed indifferent and indeed uncaring, and he praised her for her faith, and even from a far distance, because he is God, he was able to cast that demon out of this poor, suffering girl. Now, what does this have to do with today's gospel reading? Well, this Gentile woman says, "You know, just a few crumbs, Lord, that's all I'm asking. Just a few crumbs of your mercy." Now, one chapter later, guess where Jesus is? He's in Gentile territory. He's not in Jewish territory, but Gentile territory. And a great crowd had gathered to hear Jesus. They were with him 3 days and three nights. You could have called it a Galilean Woodstock or something. They had nothing to eat. Apparently, they had brought provision enough to last them for several days. But so eager were they to hear the word of God that Jesus, the Word made flesh, proclaimed, they didn't think about food once they ran out. But Jesus did think about their need of food. Jesus, who went without eating for 40 days in the wilderness, knew what it was like to be extremely hungry, hungrier than these crowds were. Jesus called his disciples to him, knowing their plight, and he told the disciples, "I have compassion on the crowd." That word compassion is splings. Boy, my mouth's not working today. Splangitzomai in the Greek. And literally, it means I feel it in my gut. These people's guts were empty. Imagine the tummy rumble. I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint out of weakness on the way." The disciples answered Jesus, "Well, hey, what are we supposed to do about it? How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place, here in the middle of the wilderness?" Now, just 2 chapters earlier, Jesus had earlier fed a multitude, a vast crowd of people. It may be a week, a month, a half year later, and the disciples do not remember that miracle of provision that Jesus had performed. Jesus asked the disciples, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "We've got 7 here." And Jesus then directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. Do you hear any familiar verbs in that verse? Do you notice the actions that Jesus performed? He took the loaves. He gave thanks. He broke them and gave them to his disciples. Took, gave thanks, broke, gave. These are Eucharistic verbs. These are words with a Eucharistic overtone. These verbs are used in our Lord's words of institution of the sacrament. So, although Jesus is not administering the sacrament here, it's okay to be reminded of the sacrament as we hear these words. Now, why does Jesus bother to feed the crowd? Well, he had compassion on them. He has compassion upon you. He has compassion upon me. Literally, the word, English word, compassion means to suffer with. Jesus entered into this fallen world, a world of uncertainty at times, a world in which just about everybody suffers, everybody feels fear, a world of adversity, a world of death. And the greatness of Jesus' compassion, his suffering with us, is shown by his death on the cross. For there, on the cross, he took up your sin. It was placed upon him so that he could shed the blood that washes you clean of sin. He took up your sufferings as he suffered on the cross. He even took up your death as he died on the cross. He defeated death for you. Death, the last enemy, has begun to be conquered. How abundant is Jesus' compassion? How abundant is his mercy? Well, notice that there were 7 baskets full of broken pieces left over from this miraculous meal of fish and bread. These baskets were something that could hold a human being inside them. It was in one of these baskets that Paul was lowered over the walls of the city when he was being persecuted for the gospel. That's a lot of fragments of fish. That's a lot of fragments of bread. And 4,000 people were fed abundantly by Jesus with plenty to spare. There are no crumbs of mercy for you at Jesus' table. No, he gives you himself. He is the bread of heaven come down for the life of the world. He gives you himself, the whole Christ, in his body, in his blood, crucified, resurrected, ascended, glorified. Jesus gives you himself because only Jesus can save you from sin and death and hell. Death came into the world through Adam because the woman ate and then gave the fruit that God had forbidden to Adam, and he ate too. And thus sin and death and disharmony came into our creation. And from that very instant, God announced his intention that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent, would defeat and destroy him, to bring life and restoration into fallen creation. Every time you hear the renewing word of God, your restoration, your ultimate restoration, is moving just a little bit closer. Every time you come to this altar to partake of Jesus' body and blood, your ultimate restoration is getting a little closer. We await the day when all things are restored. The church prays, "Come quickly, Jesus." And yet, as we are waiting for his coming in glory, he comes to us in lowliness and meekness through the feeble words of a preacher of the gospel, through bread and wine in which he gives us his body and blood, the food that sustains us here in the desolate wilderness of this world, the food of life, the food of immortality, Jesus. How important is the sacrament of the altar? Let's say that Randy, Diana, Liz, Robin, Sue, and I were together in some desolate place, and all we had left to us was just a bag with a few small pieces of dried out, crusty bread and a few ounces of wine. That would not be enough to sustain all of us. That would not be enough to sustain even one of us. What would we do with that little bit of bread and that little bit of wine? When someone is dying, I try to give them communion, their final communion, before their death. Obviously, I can't give it after they die, because then they are seated at the great wedding banquet of the Lamb. But what should be done with that bread and wine in the hypothetical situation I spoke of is that we should celebrate the sacrament. We, on the verge of starvation, should eat Christ's body and drink his blood, because his body and blood, as I said, are the food of immortality, the feast of immortality, the medicine of immortality. Never doubt God's love for you. It's here in the gospel. It's proclaimed in our liturgy and in the hymns that we sing. It's proclaimed to you and applied to you in the absolution. It's there for you in the sacrament of the altar. God is head over heels in love with you. So much does He love you that He gave His only Son over to the death of a cross for you and raised Him up again on the third day for you, so that in Christ, with your sins forgiven, wearing your baptismal garment of righteousness, you can appear with Christ when He appears in glory. And you have an eternal place at that great wedding banquet of the Lamb, which the church triumphant will one day celebrate with all of her members from every time and place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.